Hey, it's Bleck and Abdallah after hours here on the YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. It's NFL draft night, live reaction to the first round. Abdallah, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams with the number one pick and Rome Odunze with the ninth pick overall. What a win for the Chicago Bears tonight.
I can't imagine it going any better. Like, it couldn't have fallen better for the Bears. As soon as Joe Alt was gone, and then I think it was as soon as J.C. Latham was taken. Once J.C. Latham was taken, I was like, oh, man, this is going to happen. Like, this is – and kind of like we did in our mock draft 2.0, where we kind of just went the, you know, the Occam's razor route, where it's like, this is the most likely scenario. This is what's going to happen. It's exactly what happened.
I told all of you, Penix was going to rise up the board. I told you.
Not this time. And did you think he was going to be taken?
Did you hear what he said after the pick when he went to the Falcons, that the Raiders wanted him and they wanted to move up and they were trying to move up and they were trying to jump?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Blacking up Donald Trump.
I didn't think he would be taken before JJ. Like, I was pretty convinced that McCarthy was going to go at the Chargers pick, that the Vikings would trade there. But Harbaugh went with his beef. He went with Joe Alt. He went with the big beefy man. When these guys are doing workouts and stuff, you don't realize like how big they are until they're sitting around normal people and like hugging normal people. Like when he hugged his girlfriend and had to basically bend over to like a full L to hug her, you're like, oh my God, this is the largest human that's ever lived. Okay, that's fine. But no, great night for the Bears. I couldn't have scripted it any better. You know, it came down to it where you knew they weren't going to trade because the little thing at the bottom said the pick is in. So you're like, all right, no trades are coming. And then it was either to me going to be Dallas Turner or Rome Odunze, because you and I talked about it. The Byron Murphy smoke out of nowhere for the last, like, we've been talking about this for 4 months. Like, it felt weird. Like, I was going through the day, you know, and like talking to people about the draft, and it's like, oh yeah, they're going to pick Caleb. What are they going to do at 9? I don't know. Here are some options. It kind of felt weird that like this is over, you know, like we're here, like you kind of got to it. And now it's kind of like the holiday season where once Thanksgiving hits, you know, you do all this prep for Christmas and everything. And then it's like, oh, Christmas is over now. Like, what do we do now? You know, like now the draft is over. Christmas is here for the Bears. And It couldn't have worked out any perfectly. I think the Byron Murphy's, it was all smoke. I don't think there was any truth to that whatsoever. But once you saw that Rome Odunze was there, Dallas Turner, like you can't go wrong with either of those guys. I'm glad it's Rome Odunze. This wide receiver room is insane.
Well, it's stacked, and the Bears drafted two stars tonight. You know, like, and you're right. It kind of feels like we can overshadow because all we've talked about for the last 2 months is Caleb Williams and being excited for a new quarterback. But they legit have secured two stars this evening. And, like, that's what makes me so excited about this draft is that this offense is going to be good next season. We already know the defense has improved and the defense led the way last year. But when we talk on this podcast about this Bears team having an ability to win 10 games, to go to the playoffs next year, when you add Rome Odunze and you add Caleb Williams to the mix, and like you said, the wide receiver room is stacked now. You have Swift, you have Herbert in the backfield, you have two good tight ends, Everett and Kmet. I mean, this offense has all of the makings to be a top 10 offense within the next year. Like, that wouldn't surprise me if this next football season, the Bears have a top 10 offense. Really, I don't think I'm crazy about this.
I don't think you are. I was texting with a couple friends, you know, about as the draft is happening, everybody's super excited. You get people that are Bears fans that are like from all over the country, you know, texting you after this, something like this happens. And it's like 10 wins is not out of the question. I just looked while you were talking. It's still at 8.5 wins with like no juice whatsoever. I am running to the window right now. I'm running to my FanDuel app and I'm going to be betting that instantly because this is a team, like you mentioned, it's going to have a top 10 offense, but you couple that with the top 10 defense that they ended the season with last year. And like this, there's so many things going through my mind right now about this team and how great they're going to be. And like the potential, like it's all potential. Like, yeah, they could come out and fall flat, but whatever. but the hope is there. The hype is definitely there for a team that, you know, finished in DVOA, which we love, top 10. At one point, they were a top five defensive team in DVOA. I know that you still have a need a pass rusher on the other side of Montez Sweat. So that's going to be something that they look for probably, you know, late tomorrow, because they don't have a pick now until the third round, unless something crazy happens here in the next, you know, couple hours or tomorrow before the second round starts. But you couple that top 10 defense with a new quarterback that's going to come in that has all this hype around him. And it's not just a quarterback coming in with nothing. This isn't Jaden Daniels going into, you know, to Washington, where they kind of need to do a little bit of rebuilding. This isn't, you know, Drake May going to the Patriots, where they've got literally no weapons. You know, this is a guy who's coming in to have Roma Dunze, obviously a rookie as well, who's on the same track. And you're seeing the money that's going around. AJ Brown got a huge deal today right before the draft started. And now you don't have to worry about it. I feel like that kind of yesterday. Lots of Amon-Ra St. Brown yesterday. Yeah. You're going to have Keenan Allen. You're going to have DJ Moore. You're going to have Cole Kmet. You're going to have a great backfield as well. Like, this is – I think the offensive line is fine. We've talked about it before, how we both like Braxton Jones. Like, this is insane. This is nuts.
It is. As you were talking, I looked up for the over-under, 8.5. Right now on the over is minus 130.
Ooh, change that fast. People are making moves.
Yeah. And the under,
I'm still betting it.
The under at the moment is at plus 110. So okay. minus 130 for the over of 8.5, which tells me that that number is going to move soon. Like that number is not going to stay 8.5.
It might. I've seen with win totals before them get up to like minus 200 before they actually move it to like 9. Maybe once, you know, the draft is over and if people really start betting this thing. But the Vikings moved up one spot.
Yeah.
So maybe the Jets were getting calls from someone else to get J.J. McCarthy. So I'm not worried about the Vikings.
As you were talking, the way this is kind of going, we started recording this after McCarthy was picked by the Vikings at 10. Fashanu goes 11 to the Jets. Bo Nix selected by the Broncos 12th. The Raiders are on the clock as we're recording this. And the Raiders are the team that needs a quarterback. And they essentially have missed out on all of the quarterbacks. They missed out on Penix. They missed out on JJ. They missed out on Bo Nix. So the Raiders are on the clock right now as we talk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But again, not our problem. Because it's so weird to say that, like, this is here and you've got – and, you know, that Caleb Williams is here and, like, how he's going to fare and, like, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, back to the division, the Packers have yet to pick and, you know, the Lions have yet to pick as well. So we don't know. I mean, half of them were on stage before the draft started. I mean, those teams I don't think are going anywhere. I don't think Jordan Love is going to have this, I guess, technically sophomore slump from his first full season. I think they're a well-constructed team. So this is going to be a very, very good division. I don't think the Vikings are going to be horrible. I'm just not really worried about them. As a Bears fan, you know?
I also, like, on TV, they were talking about it after the pick for McCarthy for the Vikings. And they're suggesting, like, he doesn't need to start right away. And I'm like, you're going with Sam Darnold? That's how you're kind of going to run things? You're going to wait for J.J. McCarthy? Like, here's the thing. I understand that not all quarterbacks are ready to start from game one. But the problem is, the longer you wait, then it – gives you less time to figure out whether or not that guy is the guy and what you have to do with the fifth year option. So you really do have to start him sooner than later. And I think that's one of those things where J.J. McCarthy, that's the concern we had all along. And that's what we kept talking about and why I didn't think he was worthy of a top 10 pick. Now he goes just outside of that, right? Like he's selected right in the range where he's right there at 10. And the Vikings move up to take him, which tells me that the Jets were fielding calls from the Broncos, from the Raiders, and that's why the Vikings move up the one spot. Otherwise, like the Jets weren't going to take J.J. McCarthy. I don't know.
No.
This entire process, it seemed very obvious to me that the McCarthy stuff was all smoke And it was agents and other teams trying to believe that he was going to be a top five pick, even though he was never shown to be that type of player.
Listen, I kind of said it when the invitations went out for the draft and it was released that he didn't even respond to his. So they kind of rescinded his invitation. Like, dude, you're in Michigan. It's not that far. Go to the draft. Like, you saw, oh, my headphone just fell out. That was weird.
One of your maids in your palatial estate to pick it
do
up.
You like, do you like the new digs? This is, we weren't on today. So we completed the move, got the piano delivered today. Yeah.
Why don't you go play something? Go back there.
I go play something. Why don't you go play something? I don't want to, it's not the time or place for that, Chris. We're talking about the Bears. Right. It's not the time or place for me to do the, the Beethoven's overture.
Do you start a fire in the fireplace behind you with your electric?
I usually, the remote's out of batteries, man. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you notice, it's still daylight.
Oh, I mean, it's fine. You're on the West Coast.
Yeah. So I thought it was weird that like he wasn't going to go to the draft. It's right there. It's like a hometown thing. You saw when they announced Marvin Harrison Jr., the booze. Like, this is I think he kind of knew that this wasn't a guaranteed thing. And I don't know what the hell the Falcons are doing. Like, I know that there was a lot of smoke that Penix was moving up on the draft boards, but like, what are you doing? Like, this has, I don't want to say it's as bad as when the Packers took Jordan Love, because like there was always the wishy-washiness with Aaron Rodgers every single year. Does he want to keep playing? Does he not want to play there? They never kind of help him with receivers, all that kind of stuff. You just signed Kirk Cousins like a few months ago, like a month and a half ago. You gave him a ton of money. And we both were talking about it. You know, you don't need any offensive weapons, really. You should have gone defense there. Like, Dallas Turner was right there. You could have taken Dallas Turner. I have no idea what this plan is, because Penix isn't young. He's not J.J. McCarthy, who's only 21 years old. The dude's like 27 years old or something like that, or he's not that old. He's like 25, but still. No, he's old, though.
Yeah, he's an older player. He's played a lot of football, especially in college, right? The two different spots at Indiana and Washington.
He's 23 years old, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? When is he going to play for Cousins?
I think it's irresponsible the way that they're handling this, because you can make an argument that having quarterback talent gives you the ability to move that talent in the future for whatever. Like, if you develop quarterbacks, you have assets that people will want. Mm-hmm. But you laid it out. They just signed Kirk Cousins, and he's not old. Like, I know he's coming back from an injury, but he's not the type of player that in 2 or 3 years, he's not going to be available. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kirk Cousins should be able to play 6, 7, 8 more years. And at that point, you signed him to be your starting quarterback, to take the team back to the playoffs, and to be in the contention for the NFC South. You have star players on offense. I don't understand. You have to go with a defensive player there. It's wild to me to take a quarterback, even if you love the player, to take a quarterback who's not going to play. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild to me, because if you look at Cousins' contract, he's signed through 2027, and the dead money on his contract, it's not horrible if you cut him like after 2026. It's only $12 million. But again, like, he's going to keep playing. So I don't understand this move. You also have a quarterback who's coming off an injury in Kirk Cousins, and his backup has injury concerns. He's had 2 ACL surgeries and 2 separated shoulders. Like, he's not the most healthy. Like, he played all year. He was healthy. He was fine. But he was the kind of guy that I kind of compared to Tua, where after every time he got hit, you were like, is he limping? What's wrong? And then he would come back in and he'd play just fine. But there's always a concern. He's tore his ACL twice, the same ACL twice. I just don't – I don't understand what they're doing there. The Raiders selected Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
So Bowers is gone at 13. Okay. Who's thrown to him?
Yeah, I mean, Brock Bowers, the fact that he went 13th is such a value for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
This is a player coming into the draft process that we kind of discussed back in the college football season that he would be a top 6 or 7 player. And based on the obsession with drafting quarterbacks and the overdrafting of quarterbacks, you get players like that falling. And I think right now, at this point, we still have yet to have a defensive player drafted, right? We're at pick 14th. The Saints are on the clock. Every player that's been picked at this point has been an offensive player. We have 5 quarterbacks. We also have – well, we had 6 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, and then a couple offensive linemen. But no defensive players at this point off the board. The Saints at this spot, they have the pick of the best defensive player on the board, which really in reality is like top 6 or 7.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you want, you know. Latu has the injury concerns. He's supposed to be the best defensive player in the draft, if not for the neck injury where he was, or the back neck or back injury where he was medically retired or whatever and then came back. Yeah. You've got Dallas Turner, who, you know, is a linebacker slash edge rusher. Jared Verse. I think, you know, Jared Verse and Dallas Turner are almost kind of the same. One plays better out of a 4-3, one plays better in a 3-4. But they both get to the quarterback. You know, all of these defensive players going late, though, is that kind of helps the Bears in a way, because the Bears have a need at defensive end. And the farther these guys get pushed down, the more that backs everybody up that maybe, you know, you see something. Because if you zoom out of this situation, right, and the Bears still have holes to fill on this roster, they do have that extra second round pick next year. That's theirs. I would trade, because we all assume the Bears are going to be better than the Panthers next year, because they also have the Panthers' second round pick, which could be a top of the second round. It could be first, second, third of the second round pick. So if you could find a way to get into the second round this year by trading maybe your second round next year, which we hope is late, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because you kind of have all of your premier positions locked in except for that second defensive end, you know? And if you have your first round pick next year and you have the Panthers second round pick next year and you trade your second round to get a second round this year, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because you still have someone's second round pick and you still have a need that, as long as these guys keep getting pushed down, maybe you can capitalize and get something in the second round this year that you can add to your team to really put it over the edge.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. Because right now, you look at the defensive line. DeMarcus Walker, Andrew Billings, Jervon Dexter, Montez Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We've pointed to a second edge rusher as a need and like a weakness on this defense, but it's such a small weakness is what I'm pointing to. Like, I agree, they do need a second rusher off the edge, but they were pretty successful last year when Ngakoue went down, and, you know, like, Sweat just commanded so much attention, it opened up for other guys. And I guess what I'm pointing to is, like, we can say it's a weakness, but maybe DeMarcus Walker has a better year. Maybe you see Dominique Robinson kind of step up in another season where he gets some opportunities. Like, it's like we're greedy, right? Like, we want this team to be a Super Bowl challenging team. And I think the defense is almost there. And you're right. If you get a star to put on the opposite side of Montez Sweat, they're a top 3 or 4 defense in the entire league. I think right now you could say they're top 10. But, like, the pieces of the defense that someone would say is a negative or a place you need improvement, it's actually not that big of a problem.
No, I agree with you, but think about it when Ngakoue and Sweat were together, how much better it was
than
just having – exactly. And then I think now is the time to be greedy because you have – like, it's hard to say that they're – like, people will say that there's holes on the offensive line still, and there's holes on every team in the NFL on the offensive line. No one has a perfect offensive line. Like, right before the draft started and they were still doing – College Game Day, Kirk Hirsch, they were talking about the big boys, and Kirk Hirsch was like, as someone who does NFL games, there's a need. Like, there's a horrible need for offensive linemen. Quarterbacks need to be protected, and that's fine. I think that they like Braxton Jones more than what they have on the defensive line, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think,
and I think now's the time to be, like, why not be greedy now? Like, you, we've been waiting for this for so long. Why not give up? Like, if you find a defensive player, like, maybe they've planned this out, and because, you know, Ryan Poles has said it, this is a long-term plan. We're not just building for 1 year. Maybe he's mapped it out and says, hey, like, these defensive ends are cool and all, but, like, next year's defensive ends, like, kind of what he did with the quarterback this year. Like, sure, maybe he could have taken Bryce Young. Maybe he could have taken C.J. Stroud. But he probably mapped this out somewhat and was like, yeah, but next year, even if we don't have number one, like, we could get Jaden Daniels. We could get Drake May. We could get Bo Nix. We could get Penix. Like, so I wonder if that's it. But I'm being a greedy Bears fan right now, and I want everything. I want everything, like, tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow, really. Don't trade back into the first round. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I get – yeah, I agree with you. I think my hesitance in just, like, saying they have to do that is I'm looking at the roster, and Ryan Poles in two seasons has completely – flip this roster.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've seen a rebuild take shape in this fashion successfully, I think, ever in Chicago sports. What do you say?
You say it all the time. Bottom of the pool, right back up.
Yeah, you hit the bottom and you rise back up because it's the NFL. Everyone's about 500. You make a couple of adjustments, you make a couple of good draft picks, a couple moves, and boom, you're right back into playoff contention. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this upcoming season, the Bears are absolutely going to be in the playoff hunt. They will be in that conversation. They should be in the playoffs. They should no doubt be a wild card team. And I think it's one of those things, if we look big picture on Chicago sports, the Chicago Cubs won a World Series after their rebuild. But that was a slower process. That was a process that took years of watching prospects in the minors, and then when they come up, learning how to play. I can't really recall another Chicago sports team that went into a rebuild and then immediately, within two seasons, are set up like this team is set up for this season. They are set up to win this season. And a conversation we had on our radio show throughout last football season, and also we've mentioned it here on the YouTube channel. Last year, during training camp, you and I and everyone at ESPN Chicago spent a lot of time up at training camp, up at Hell's Hall. We were in the building. We were running our radio shows from outside the Fan Festival. We were all up there a lot. We spent some days up there that we weren't even on the air, just hanging out with Bears officials.
Yeah.
It was a really cool experience. They wanted to win last year.
Yeah.
They did not expect the 0-4 start and the way the wheels just kind of came off at the beginning, especially that Green Bay game and the game against Kansas City with Taylor Swift in the booth. They didn't expect that. They wanted to win last year. And so with that background knowledge that you and I were able to witness and to then convey to the people watching this and listening is that the rebuild's done, right? Like, the rebuild's over. It's now developed this quarterback. You have all the weapons in the world. go out there and win football games. You heard Caleb Williams say tonight on the stage, he wants to learn his teammates' names, and he wants to win some games. That's all that matters. And so, like, that's where we're at as Bears fans. And so you're right. Be greedy. Ask for more, because if you get that defensive end, you get an edge rusher, someone who can get after the quarterback, the opposite of Montez Sweat, that makes everyone better. It makes Edmonds better. It makes Edwards better. It makes the corners better. And those guys balled out last year. So this team is ready to go.
First defensive player is off the board right now.
Because I saw that the Saints went offense too. They
did. Offensive tackle, Fuaga.
Morgan State, right? Fuaga?
Yeah. So the Colts took Latu from UCLA.
Okay. And so with Latu, Leitu Latu, he's a player that there was injury concern.
Yeah.
But you can make the case last year in college football, he was the absolute best defensive player in the entire country.
Oh. Easily. If it wasn't for the injury history, he probably would be taken higher, and he probably, he already is the first defensive player taken, so I can't take that away from him, but he might have been taken higher. Like,
yeah, not 15.
The thing, no. Like, Dallas Turner's not Will Anderson. Like, let's not get it twisted. Like, he's great. Will Anderson was a different animal at Alabama and deserved to be one of the first defensive players taken last year. Now, this year, it's different, obviously, and I think that if Florida State would have made the college football playoff, Jared Verse might have been taken by now, you know, with an extra game of tape in the in the playoff in a real game, because obviously he didn't play in the bowl game and that kind of stuff. So now maybe there's a run on defensive ends and there's no need to trade up in tomorrow's second round. You mentioned what Caleb Williams said about getting to know his players' names. This is not the time for victory laps. However, did you notice on social media all of the players that are at Soldier Field right now that are watching and taking part in the Bears draft party, and then the players that aren't there that were tweeting, let's effing go, bear down, all that kind of stuff, when the Bears selected Caleb Williams? I was told by a lot of fans that this team wouldn't rally around a new quarterback and then it had to be Justin Fields. I'm just saying, Chris.
That's you really it. Want to go after the mouth breathers tonight?
No. There's other people at our station that are currently doing that on Twitter right now. Shout out Shane Norling.
Johnny beef sandwiches who are just so torn up that Justin Fields is traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It was like every player there had their phone out. They were filming the screen as Adele was making the announcement. Like, this is different, man. This is different.
It is different. It's I don't want to say that the Bears drafted Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, but this is as a prospect coming into this process, this is as tailor-made to having a chance to work as you possibly could get. The last time I remember a player having the hype, having the personality, checking all the boxes, everything makes perfect sense. There is no question if this player should be the number one pick. Mm-hmm. It was Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck's the last player that had the hype, the college stats to go with it, the tape, the personality, everything. That Andrew Luck was a perfect prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence was close to that. I'll give Trevor Lawrence a little credit. In this conversation, he was close to it.
But they brought in Urban Meyer. Like, what are you doing?
But, like, once you pass up Andrew Luck, you have to go back to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time a quarterback was, like, this hyped as a number one guy? Like, this is the other thing. If you want to take a victory lap on people, hey, asshats, we told you at the combine, there is no conversation about anyone being the number one pick outside of Caleb Williams.
No, uh-uh.
And two people on television kept trying to get a little attention, suggesting that
he was doing it right before they picked Caleb Williams.
Oh, I know. He was selling it hard.
Louis Riddick is his name. And he was sitting there going, they're like, Greeny was like, so Louis, who are you going to pick? Who do you want to pick?
Who would you take?
Who would you take? He's like, well, I'm going to stick with my guy, Jaden Daniels. It's like,
oh my God.
Dude, what are you doing?
I don't understand between Louis Riddick and Dan Orlovsky, who they talked to.
I don't know.
Why they pushed Jaden Daniels so hard as the number one guy. They're the only two.
Yeah.
Nobody else. Everyone else knew that Caleb Williams, since the combine, and we've been talking about it since the combine, it's been Caleb Williams. And like, that's why I love the ESPN coverage, because they go to Schefter. And Schefter has all the information, and he's like subtle about letting you know that he knows exactly what's going to take place. Yeah. And he like gently relays the story that, well, the Bears for months now have had their eye on Caleb Williams. Let's find out. You know, they go to the green room. Molly McGrath, Ryan Poles has told me that for months the Chicago Bears knew that they were going to take Caleb. Did you catch that when she when she was walking in the green room between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams? She stopped and she goes, Ryan Poles told me for months the Chicago Bears knew that they were going to take Caleb Williams. And for our listeners and our viewers to this channel and to the radio show, that's exactly what we've all been hearing.
Yeah.
We've all been hearing behind the scenes, there was nobody but Caleb. That's it.
Also, shout out to that walk and talk. That was insanely well executed.
It was.
Like, to go from all the players, and then like what you don't see is the camera crew running from player to player as she's walking with one other camera. Like, just a phenomenal walk and talk setup before the draft started. Much better than all the M&M being shoved down our throat.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. He was.
What do you mean? Good. They've had M&M music going in and out of every break.
Have you been to Detroit?
Unfortunately,
I have.
There's so much more music than Eminem.
I know, but people—it's all people talk about. I was at a wedding over Thanksgiving in Detroit, and the after party was at some bar. We walk into the bar, and like three different people are like, "Hey, by the way, in the basement of this bar, that's where Eminem was—he was discovered in the basement." And I was like, "All right,
okay,
some place." It was a nice bar. No shade on the bar. But it's all anyone talks about there. Because it's a crappy city. All right. Two things before we wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
One, the trade that Ryan Poles made last year with the number one pick might go down as the greatest trade in NFL history. The fact that the Bears, out of that trade, received – DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Caleb Williams, and they still have a second-round pick next season, all for Bryce Young. That's it. For Bryce Young, a player who we're both skeptical on. So,
well, yeah, and that's why I said be greedy. You have that extra pick that we don't even know what it's going to be yet, but it's going to be better than the Bears pick. So trade your own pick and get something this year. I'm trying to be greedy. I want all these guys on the same timeline so that in 5 years or 4 years, we're like, what are we going to do? We got to pay all these players at the same time. It's a good problem to have that you're seeing a bunch of teams sign players this week leading up to the draft.
The other thing I want to point out here on this recording, you and I may or may not have a live show tomorrow night. There's rain in the area in Minneapolis. So the White Sox game on Friday night might be rained out. And we might have a live Bleck and Abdallah on the radio. All calls welcome, Friday night calls, which would be out of control as we head into night two of the NFL draft. The jersey number is out. 18 for Caleb 18. Williams, which anyone who followed Caleb Williams' career could have called that because it's what he wore in high school.
Yeah.
So 18 is the number, and you can buy your jerseys on the Chicago Bears website now. $129 for a jersey, for the navy blue home jersey, for the white, the orange. Caleb Williams, 18.
What about the jersey? Can I get the jersey?
Yeah, probably. Have you looked?
Okay. No, I'm looking right now. I want the because I don't wear jerseys. I wear a jersey though. I had a Justin Fields jersey. Maybe I shouldn't get one.
I'm with you. I'm like past the jersey stage of my life, I think.
I don't wear jerseys. No. I wear soccer jerseys because they fit like
t-shirts. Oh,
yeah.
I will wear this though. I had to wear this today because it's a big day.
Yeah. Yeah. If they would have drafted Dallas Turner at 9, I'd be wearing Alabama stuff, but I just went bare. Dude, it was crazy. So, like just going about my day today, because there was a White Sox game on, so we weren't on with Carmen and Yurko earlier today. Like,
you had a big move,
it was
though.
Like, I did. I moved, so the movers saw it, and I going about. You know, you got to go to Target a bunch of times when you move because there's always new stuff you need. We had to get a new garbage can and that kind of stuff. You know, so like it was like a game day outside. There was so much Bears stuff out in the streets. Everyone at every place I was at today. All I heard, like, because you hear side conversations, you know, was talking about the draft or the stadium. It was two things, draft or stadium. And it just felt like I didn't think I was going to be that excited for it because we've all been anticipating this for 4 months. But also knowing we knew what the pick was going to be. Dude, it felt like a game. Like, I was excited. Yeah, I felt like a game. Like, it felt like getting ready for game day where you're just like the first game of the season where you're like, I need this to start right now. Like, there's 20 minutes left on the clock. Come on. We know what's going to happen. Just start the draft now.
This was my reaction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did the clapping. I had to do it. The baby didn't sleep by then. So I was doing a little clapping. And, yeah, we did the let's go and the bear down and all that stuff. And now I'm going to put in my bet for over 8.5 wins.
All right. So here we go. Before we wrap this up, Friday, we will have new content here on the YouTube channel, but also we may have a live show Friday night because of the White Sox, the rain in the area. That game might get rained out completely.
The game is here, by the way.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, 1,000% it's here.
Really?
Yeah. You're on your computer. Do a Google. People can wait for me to be right. It's fine. I'll go play the piano. I'll be right back.
Well, that's fine. If either way, it's going to rain here tomorrow too.
No, I know. I was just saying for so in the comments down there, people are like, you know, the game is here, right?
Oh, I don't give a shit.
I'm just telling you. Ah, you know, the game is here.
Is it really?
Yes. They play the Rays.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I spent all day looking at the weather for Minneapolis, and there's going to be a big storm in Minneapolis, too. There's going to be a storm in Minneapolis tomorrow.
Well, it's raining here tomorrow night also, so maybe there'll be a live Black and Abdallah tomorrow night. Either way, regardless
really
of where
it matter it's where the game's played?
No, but for, you know, for people. For Tony Reale out there, for fact checking.
Well, you know, for all those losers, let me give them something, a little piece of information for them. For all the people who need to get in the comments and complain about something like that.
Right down there.
The NFL draft is tonight and the NBA playoffs are tonight. I don't fucking care about baseball. Sorry.
Well, there's a great game on too.
I know. That's why I want to end this. We can go watch basketball and the rest of the draft.
It's a 10-point game with a minute and a half left, so you're fine.
I do know you're very interested in this. The Chicago White Sox are right now they're 3-22. They're 15 games back in the division, but they're 11 games back in the wild card.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's a run on defensive players. Dallas Turner, you are a Viking.
Ooh.
Byron Murphy went before him to the Seahawks.
Ooh.
Dallas, you know what? Guess what? Vikings scared. How about that? Vikings are scared. we need to go get defensive tackles. We gotta go get
I don't care what baseball teams are playing money. Right now. It's draft night. Jeez.
I was just listen, you wasted what, a total of 15 minutes of your day looking at radars for Minnesota?
Yeah, you wanna know what time it's gonna start raining in Minnesota tomorrow?
I don't care because they're not playing there.
At like 4 p.m. It's gonna start raining at like 4 p.m.
It's supposed to start raining here around 5. I'm more concerned that's going to affect our golf on Saturday.
No, it won't. Golf Saturday is fine.
Well, yeah, but it's going to be wet.
Nah, it's fine. Oh, yeah, you're right. 4 p.m., a lot of rain. Okay, here in Chicago.
All right. Got See it. You tomorrow night on Bleck and Abdallah.
Yeah, so the whole point of that is we might have a live show tomorrow night. So stay tuned, subscribe to the channel. That's how you'll know when we have new content posted. Like and subscribe. It's Bleck and Abdallah After Hours, a live NFL draft reaction show. Round one, the Bears have Caleb Williams. They have Rome Odunze. They're going to the playoffs next. Talk to you later.
Bye.